I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Put a big fat smile on your face. Here's what we have on tap for this hour. A little contrast between red states and blue states. We're going to compare the two, Chris. We have Jesse being right. Remember when I was talking, what, Chris? Remember when we were talking about the evil governments of the world unloading their garbage on America because we opened up our borders? Oh, yeah. Well, that's officially in the news now. We'll get to all that. So much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Don't forget, you can email the show and should, whatever you want. Love, hate, death threats. Email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm going to get to a couple emails here before we get to blue states versus red states. Dear sociopath, on one of your shows last week, you kept teasing about reading an email asking what your favorite sword was. I think it might have been one of mine, but you never got to it because you have ADHD. What is your favorite sword? He puts in capital letters. You know, full disclosure, that was Friday. And Chris and Michael were the ones who let you down. Because they should know by now that I'm going to lose focus on occasion and I'm not going to remember to get back to certain things. So here's what happened on Friday. You're going to love this. We get home. It's Friday night. We get home like an hour after the show's over. I get a text from Michael to our little group text saying, hey, did you ever get to the sword thing? Like that helps me now, Michael. Like that helps me an hour after the show is over. During the show, if you see my ADHD acting up, you need to get with me immediately because I'll never get back. Anyway, let's move on to other things. No, I'm kidding. My favorite sword is the Japanese katana. Oh, that's... What did you just sneer at the Japanese katana? Chris, what's your favorite sword? Something lame? What do you mean you don't have a favorite sword? You know what I have to
Why
say
are
to you?
You gay?
That's what I have to say to you. Who doesn't have a favorite sword? Maces are not better. I mean, did you know the point of the mace? Did you know why they came up with the mace, Chris? Did you know this? Well, that's right. Chris doesn't know, so I'll explain to Chris and everyone else. The mace, you know what a mace is? It's like a big club. Well, it's fascinating. We're going to talk about military matters actually today, but remember, all military technology, all of it, it's just a response to what the other guy's doing. If the other guy's hurting you in this way, you come up with a countermeasure to do this, and then he'll come up with a countermeasure to do that, so on and so forth. Well, have you ever looked at one of the old medieval knights, or at least that statue or the armor of it, and have you ever wondered as you sit in front of it, how could anybody hurt this guy with a sword? It would be very difficult to hurt this guy with a sword. Where are you going to stab him? Where are you going to slash him? Especially if he's trying to get you to not do that, it would be very difficult. Well, they went through the same thing too. So that's why they came up with the mace. In case he's wearing all this heavy armor, you just bludgeon him, just boom, pop him right on the head. Armor or no armor, you get hit in the head with a mace. You are, I mean, look, you're going to sound like Chris. It's not going to go well from there. But the katana is the superior sword. Before I move on to red states and blue states, which I swear I'm going to do right now because I'm majorly focused today.
My focus is just stay focused.
I do want to point out something disappointing, and this is going to devastate every man who's listening. The women won't care, but the men are going to be devastated. And you'll probably send me hate mail, but you know deep down that I'm right. Fellas, it's you and me talking here. You know that there was never really a sword fight, right? Like the kind you see in the movies, the kind we all love in the movies. the whole where the swords are, they're fighting, he's got a sword and the other guy's just got a sword and they're doing the ting, ting, ting thing and they're blocking everything. You know that that's just out of the movies, that that's not something that ever happened. You know that? And let me explain. I know the men are devastated right now. They're probably turning off the radio or podcast. Let me explain. Have you ever done any knife training at all? I am not some knife fighter. Okay, so let me be clear about that. But in the Marines, you're always going through different kinds of training to teach you little skills here and little skills there, whatever that may be. And we did do some knife training for a bit. Now, these are knives. And so we would learn all these techniques. You block this way and stab this way, and you do all these different things. And they would always pull out these fake knives. I believe they were wood, just these wooden knives, the size of a knife, but very dull, obviously. And they would paint, we painted red lipstick on them. And we were always wearing green when we were down there knife fighting in the field. So you're knife fighting your buddies. You get in a 10-second knife fight with your buddy, you're both bleeding. When you fight with a knife, you will be cut. Period. End of story. Who cuts the other guy fatally first is really the only story there. You will be cut. There's no special Steven Seagal hand fighting technique. It doesn't exist. When you fight with edged weapons, you will be cut. Now, that is with a knife. Now, expand that to a 3-foot sword. Men without armor who fought with swords, with armor it may have been different, but men without armor or in shields who fought with swords, those fights, if they ever took place, were over in 5 seconds. In 5 seconds, somebody struck a fatal blow and it was over. Isn't that the most devastating thing you've ever heard in your life? I'm still crushed. I was thinking about that one day and it occurred to me. And oh, by the way, maybe you're sitting there saying, Jesse, no, what about this? What about that? If you don't believe me, go watch fencing. Go watch fencing. How long do those last? Do you see a whole lot of the ting, 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 ting with the special techniques? Or are they over in like half a second? They're over in half a second when the killing blow is landed. I'm crushed. You're crushed. We're all crushed. Let's move on and talk about crushing communists. Let's move on and talk about the contrast between red and blue states and why, as I've said many, many, many times, divorce, national divorce, the breaking up of the country is really what I'm talking about. It is inevitable because two separate cultures cannot, and frankly should not, live together. Separate cultures should stay separate. And many, 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 many cultures directly clash with each other. Here's a great historical example before I get into red states and blue states because I lose focus. You know how much I love to study the Japanese, World War II, the Pacific War, that kind of thing. Where the Japanese ran into major resistance problems, I'm talking about underground rebellions and things like that, was the Philippines. For some reason, those Filipinos really, really fought back harder against the Japanese than many of the other places the Japanese had conquered. The Japanese had so many problems with them. They were always torturing them and murdering them, and they just couldn't get these rebel units under control. Amazing, incredible stories of bravery. Why? Here's a little thing, a little tidbit for you. In Japanese culture at the time, not talking about today, at the time, slapping was part of life. Definitely part of life in the military. You were always getting slapped. Not just yelled at, whap, getting whapped across the face. You were always catching one across the beak. Always, always, always. It was a huge part of their training. It was part of their home life training. Mama just, boom, pop you upside of the head. Slapping was ingrained in Japanese culture. Well, I'm not here to tell you that anybody loves being slapped. Nobody's ever been slapped in the face and said, wow, that was great. So I'm not saying that. But Filipino culture, there was a lot of Spanish culture mixed in there, obviously, because the Spanish had conquered the Filipinos before. And there was a lot of that kind of machismo man culture stuff. And there are other reasons for it. But if you slap a Filipino, he's not kind of insulted. He's not a little wounded. He's not offended. He will hate you for life. You slap a Filipino in the face, he will carve your heart out of your chest one day. And the Japanese conquered the Filipinos. And again, two totally separate cultures that should not be together at all. The Japanese did what they'd always done. Up, not doing what you're told. Whap! Oh, not moving far enough, fast enough. Whap! Hey, come over here. Whap! Whapping them all on the face. And soon, this hardcore Filipino resistance rose up underneath Japanese rule in the Philippines and really caused hell for them, really caused a lot of problems for them. And this underground Filipino resistance gave us tremendous intelligence and aid when we were retaking the Philippines. Simple cultural differences. Here in America, we will separate, and we should, because we have separate cultures. Courtesy of New York and Tennessee, those separate cultures have, well, they're pretty obvious today. We'll go over that next. I won't lose focus this next time. Before we do that, I want you to listen to Janet Yellen. Just listen to this.
The strength of the U.S. economy has been a key driver of this positive economic performance. The Biden administration's policies, starting with the American Rescue Plan, and continuing with historic investments.
Do these people sound like they're about to be done spending? Do they sound like, wow, this fiscal crisis is here and it's time to get serious now? All the powers that be continue to talk about how great we're doing, and they're bragging that they're not going to shut the government down, that they're going to keep spending, that they're never going to cut. Do you have your gold yet? Precious metals. I don't care if it's gold, by the way. Get silver if you prefer silver. I actually kind of like the color of silver better. Either way, I don't care. I don't care about the color. I don't care that it's shiny. It's time to begin acquiring hard assets these people can't destroy the value of. Oxford Gold Group will get it in your retirement, and they'll get gold or silver coins in your physical possession. Get a hold of them now so they can help you before crisis comes. 833-995-GOLD or go to oxfordgoldgroup.com/free. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. I'm going to get to the foreign countries unloading their murderers on us. I'm going to get to emails. Let's first get to this. I don't know why I can't talk. This. Two contrasting states. New York bill would allow minors to consent to sex changes without parental awareness. That's one headline. That's from the Post Millennial. Next one, Fox News. Tennessee House passes a bill that would largely ban LGBTQ flags in public school classrooms. Two completely separate cultures. Completely separate cultures. And let's be honest, cultures openly hostile to each other. And I want you to understand that I don't exempt myself from that. I am proudly, openly hostile to whatever culture tells children to physically maim themselves. I am openly hostile to that. Whatever culture encourages illegals to flood the country, I am openly hostile to that. I admit it 100%. Whatever culture it is that has told women that they should just murder their babies if they feel like it so they can go get drunk on spring break, I'm openly hostile to that, and I don't apologize for it one little bit. And I understand. I understand full well they're openly hostile to me and mine. They despise me. They despise everything I stand for. They do. What was that lady from yesterday? That lady we played the audio of when she was talking about Christian nationalism over and over and over and again. And we had actually a long montage that I played for you yesterday about Christian nationalism. Look, I mean, here's a great example. Here's a great example. The headline is Trump's demographic problem. It's Axios, but that's not the important part. The important part is actually the very first sentence. This doesn't make me angry. I know this is how they feel. They've announced who their enemies are. Quote, if America were dominated by old, white, election-denying Christians who didn't go to college, former President Trump would win the general election. Old, white, election-denying Christians who didn't go to college. Look, they're very honest with themselves and with everyone, frankly, on who they think the enemy is. And I agree that we're enemies. That's the thing. I'm not fighting back on that. I know you consider me an enemy. I know you consider me a clear and present danger to the United States of America. I know you want my guns. I know you'd prefer if I aborted my children. I know you want the border open. I know you want my son to chop his penis off. I understand that. And I understand that my values for you are repugnant. You consider me to be an enemy of the state. I consider you to be an enemy of the state. Well, we shouldn't live together. I used to use this analogy all the time. I haven't done it in ages. And it's stupid, as most of my analogies are. But it is true. We're the couple with kids. We have a couple kids. And we've moved out to the house in the suburbs. And the man, that's us, he wants to live in the suburbs and have a white picket fence, and he wants to go to work. He wants to play with the kids, take them hiking, enjoy his time with his family, go to church on Sunday, take them to a ball game, put them in sports. That's what he wants to do. The wife, it's not that she wants something slightly different. She wants to go tour Europe with the Rolling Stones, and she's found a group of friends who want to do black tar heroin with her as she tours Europe with the Rolling Stones. We don't have slight differences. We have completely opposite views of life and family and culture and the way things should be. And you know, I'm not a fan of divorce, right? Although I don't judge you if you've had them. Life's hard. Life is very hard. You'll never get any judgment out of me. I'm the worst person in the world. I'm not judging anybody here. But I'm not a fan of divorce. At the same time, I bet you money you've known a couple in your life and you walked away when you were hanging out with them and said to yourself or to your friends, gosh, they need to separate before somebody gets hurt. You've known something like that, haven't you, Chris? Of course you have. I've known a few people. We saw one come, and this was 7 or 8 years ago. I had a buddy. He was not a Marine. He was a former Army guy, and he was married to, he was married. And whenever we would get together with them, it would get so bad. And we're talking glasses would get broken, threats of violence going each way. We never saw whether or not that took place behind closed doors, right, when no one was there. I would always have the conversation, even if it was just with myself. I would say, man, they really need to go their separate ways or someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to get hurt bad. That's a bad situation. That's where we are as a nation right now. We view each other as enemies of the state. And look at how different the states are. In California, they'll take your child away from you if you won't call your little boy a little girl. I have a father who emails in the show from California. Breaks my heart every time he emails in. He's divorced. His hag of a wife is trying to trans his only son. He's agonizing over it. Jesse, what do I do? It's the worst thing ever, right? So what could you imagine? And states like Tennessee, racing the opposite direction. This is why it's time to move. Time to pack it up and move. All right? All right. We're going to get to some emails before we get to the illegals and how our enemies are dumping their illegals onto us. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Did you hear Katie Porker? She's super upset that we might try to adjust the legal immigration policy in this country just because one student got bludgeoned to death.
Well, I think when a horrible tragedy like this happens, I think whenever we're dealing with violent crime, there is a sense of outrage, of sadness, and of loss. But I think the important thing to focus on is any one instance shouldn't shape our overall immigration policy.
From the people who grab your guns the second there's a mass shooting. Interesting, right? Very, very interesting. All right. We'll get back to Katie Porker and illegal immigration in a moment. Let's get to some emails. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, why does money in politics matter? The DNC could spend $100 quadrillion, and I still would not vote for them. They're communists. Please explain why this matters. And his name is Leo. All right. We've talked about this before. Let's talk about this again. Remember, this is a difficult thing. It's always going to be difficult for you. It's always difficult for me. This is something you and I will struggle with our entire lives. Being the hyper-informed. Being the hyper-informed, you love your country. You understand your country has problems. You understand that you need to be knowledgeable about the problems, be knowledgeable about the people causing the problems, that you, me, we're going to argue and discuss how to fight back against the people fighting the problems. But because you understand politics is just another word for power, politics, actually, I don't like the word too much. It makes it sound soft. We're talking about power. Who wields it? Who's going to have power to shape our culture, to shape our nation? It's really important who has power. It's really, really important. It is. It matters. You know that. So you listen. You pay attention. You know the issues. You knew what's something we already talked about today? The Army recruiting thing. We already talked about the Army recruiting thing. It's what? What time is it, Chris? Like 7:30 at night or something Eastern time? Whatever. What, Chris? I don't know everything. It's at nighttime. You already knew about that before you heard the sound of my voice, unless you've been working and haven't had the radio on all day. You already knew about that. You're the hyper-informed. Your normie neighbor has no idea about Army recruiting numbers. And he definitely has no idea why the recruiting numbers are there. He has no idea. And if you even brought it up to him, you know what he'd say to you? Oh, man, that is too bad. Anyway, did you catch a game last night? You're the hyper-informed. When I talk about money being important in politics, it doesn't apply to you at all. Not at all. Not even a little bit. If everyone was hyper-informed like you, seeking out information, you're on your phone, you're listening to the radio, listening to podcasts, watching things on TV. If everyone handled politics the way you do, money would never matter at all. That's not what the money's for. The money is for the people who actually decide elections. And I hate to tell you this, that's not us. We do not decide elections. Now, we are the muscle. We are what makes the engine go. The candidates, the causes, they need our effort. They need our money when we can. They need the true believers like you and me. But we do not decide elections. The people who decide elections are this gigantic middle of the country that goes either way and can be swayed either way, and they vote based on some of the most illogical, dumbest things possible. And that's for me. Remember, I'm the one who never judges you for how you vote. And I don't care if you judge me for how I vote. I've always told you who I'm voting for in primaries, in generals. I've told you why I'm voting for it. And if you had a problem with that, I never gave a crap, did I? That's the way it's going to be. But I've never judged you either. I have people who email the show all the time. Jesse, I'm vote for Trump in the primary, and DeSantis is the Antichrist. And I say, good, I'm glad you care enough. Fine, vote for Trump. Yes, good. Jesse, I'm only voting DeSantis. I hate Donald Trump. The vaccine stuff. Good, fine. Yeah, I have people who email the show now. I could never vote for Trump again. I'm voting for RFK. Okay, well, that's not the route I'm going, but you have a reason. Good for you. I'm glad you're involved. This does not apply to this middle-of-the-road person we're discussing here. There are many people, they're so low info that they vote based on, I like his eyes. He seems nice. He reminds me of my dad, for better or for worse. I know, look, I could go down the laundry list of reasons. I told you before about the woman who told me she didn't vote for me. This is a hardcore Republican in Arizona and told me she didn't vote for me. And I asked her why. I wasn't offended. I was just curious. And she told me, I thought it was going to be, you know, my social security stance or something. She told me I reminded her of her ex-husband, a man I had never met. That was one of the more disheartening but revealing moments in my political life. I remember just looking there with my jaw hanging open, thinking, you make decisions that will decide the future of the United States of America because I remind you of a man you used to be married to? What? That's who these people are. That's who the money's for. Advertising works. You can be dismissive all you want of that Pizza Hut ad you just saw on the television that had a Meat Lover's Pizza out there. Oh, that's ridiculous. That ad doesn't work. You think Pizza Hut's been running ads for as long as Pizza Hut's been in business because ads don't sell pizzas? Ads sell pizzas. Politicians run ads on television for the exact same reason. It's for the low info people who are manipulated by what they see on the television set. It's a big reason why, like, you've heard me rant and rave endlessly about the low T GOP in red states and why our reddest states have our most despicable senators. It's not like our despicable senators come from these purple states or blue states. Texas, South Carolina, Mississippi, Louisiana, North Dakota, South Dakota. I could go down the line. The reddest states in the union have the biggest rhino losers in Washington, D.C. who sell us out every time. How is that possible, though? How do these guys keep winning their primary? How does James Lankford, how does Low T Lankford, Kendall Lankford out of Oklahoma, in a state as red in God's country as Oklahoma, how could that eunuch make it out of a GOP primary ever? Money. He raises a bunch of it from all his Senate leadership friends and all these PACs. And then when it comes time for election year, Senator Kendall runs ads. I don't even have to see them to know them. Chris, I bet you if you look it up, I bet you I'll find one. But I don't even have to see them to know that James Low T Lankford runs ads on television in primary season, and he talks about how he's going to secure the border. And I bet you money. If I look during the break, and I'm going to look during the break, I bet you I will see an ad of James Lankford holding a gun. Maybe talking about shooting. Oh, protect your Second Amendment rights. This is what they do. They take gobs of money and they brand themselves in primary season as being these seasoned fighters in D.C. who are taking on the communists, and the low info morons and the GOP base will run out and vote based on the ad they just saw. Not on the fact that Low T Lankford just tried to flood the country with illegals by law. James Lankford tried to write into law that illegals would flood this country by the million. Do you realize that? And you watch. I think 2028 is when his primary is, I believe. You watch. 2028, we'll be here ranting and raving on the radio. Don't think I'm going to forget about you, Lankford. And he'll be running all these ads talking about how tough he is on illegal immigration. We're going to be pro-life. Protect your Second Amendment rights. And the freaking morons who only get their information from television commercials will flock to the polls and vote him again. And again. And again. That's why the money matters. It's not for you. Like I said, if everyone was like you, you raise $1 million. It wouldn't matter. Raise nothing. Wouldn't matter at all. Sadly, most people are not. All right, couple more emails and we'll get to this illegal immigration stuff. Before we do that, let's talk about health. Not mine, not yours, not lecturing anybody, nor should I, but we understand that as living beings, we need certain kinds of nutrition, right? Our bodies are made to need certain things. We need vitamins and minerals and omega oils and digestive enzymes. And when we get these things, our bodies will be healthier and we'll live longer. And if we don't get these things, we won't, period. Well, our dogs are the same. They're living things. And we lose our dogs too early. Our dogs die too early. And they suffer too much. Our dogs shouldn't have all the health problems they have in this country. We give them dog food, and dog food's dead, and our dogs suffer and die because of it. Start pouring Rough Greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement. You will see a difference in your dog. His coat, his breath, his joints, his energy. Free Jumpstart trial bags. RoughGreens.com/Jesse. Or call 833-33-MY-DOG.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Going to get to some emails in this illegal immigration stuff here in a minute. But I wanted to answer a question. Jewish producer Chris asked me during the break. So we were talking about politics and money. He asked about mailers. Surely mailers aren't effective, right? Because I know you get them. If you get the mail, you get mailers. What are they? These big note card looking things. And they tell you, hey, vote for Bob. He'll fight for you. Or they tell you, hey, don't vote for Larry. Look how evil Larry is. Mailers work too. Of course they work. Of course they work. They work. These things have been done forever because these things work effectively. You know, I've talked to you about running for school board. That's what you'll use when you run for school board, because I know you're going to run for school board, right? Anyway, when you do, you're not going to be running television commercials to, hey, vote for me for school board. You're going to be sending out mailers, and you'll do what we used to do. You'll find your opponent, and you'll pick the worst possible picture of your opponent, and you'll put that on the mailer. It's hilarious to do that. It always made me laugh to make him look as bad as possible. Hey, Jesse, you may consider yourself dumb, but many of us are not as smart as you. Freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. I don't know what these mean. Freeze it is to put it in a freezer, personalize it to get it engraved, whatever. He said, please explain. Okay, I was talking last week about communist tactics and how they do those things. In fact, I was talking about how it pertains to Christian nationalism, but they're doing it with Clarence Thomas, with everything. They'll pick a target. The communists will find something that's in his way, and he will freeze it, personalize it, polarize it. It's what he will do. He will go after it. So what is he actually saying there? Let me explain. When I say freeze it, Chris, actually grab that soundbite from that idiot on Politico where she was talking about not Christianity, but Christian nationalism. First thing they try to do, what does freezing it mean? Freezing it means they're trying to take something they hate, and they're trying to at least make the general public think that it doesn't apply to them. That this thing they've declared war on, this thing they intend to destroy, it almost always is part of the general public, but they don't want the general public to know that. So what they're doing is they're freezing it. In essence, they're freezing it, and that's kind of breaking it off from society. Go ahead, Chris Player.
The one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, mm-hmm. is that they believe
they're attacking Christianity. They understand that that's not going to fly when that's still the majority religion in the country. They can't just come out and declare open war on Christianity. So instead, you make it about Christian nationalism, which isn't even a thing. It's not something anyone can really describe. But when you make it about Christian nationalism, what that does is you've taken the normie norm Christian and you've allowed him to, in his mind, divorce himself from whatever they're talking about. Oh, she's not talking about me, honey. I'm just a cheek turner. Anyway, it's those other guys, the Christian nationalist guys. Definitely not us. Don't worry, honey. Let's read that verse about turning the other cheek for the 90th time. That's the only one we've ever read. That's what they're doing. That's what when they say freeze it, it's isolate it. Break it off from you. We're not attacking you, of course. It's these guys. No, not you. It's those guys. So that's what they mean by freeze it. Personalize it. They're trying to describe to you why it's so bad in a way that you will feel. That's what they mean by personalize it. You know, we've ranted and raved endlessly on the show about how after a mass shooting, how the communists will, they'll pounce on it now, and they don't even wait. They don't even wait till the shooter is down half the time now. The second they hear about a mass shooting, they are taken to the presses. We got to get the guns. We got to go after the guns. And totally shameless now. Beto O'Rourke here in Texas, after that shooting in Uvalde, he showed up to the law enforcement press briefing and started screaming about guns immediately. The Biden White House, Obama's the one who started this, but the Biden White House, they immediately are all hands on deck, especially if a black person got shot or a white person did the shooting. It's immediately all hands on deck, grab the guns, grab the guns. Why, though? Why do they love that? Why do they do that? It's not just because they're soulless anti-human demons, because they understand you are raw emotionally in the wake of something like that, and they try to use that to make it personal for you. Oh, this normal American, he won't let me take his guns away. I want to take his guns away, and I want to hurt him, but he won't let me. What do I do? Oh, hey, look at this dead kid. Hey, there's a dead kid. Do you want dead kids? Give us your guns, or else you want dead kids. That's what they mean by personalizing it. They're making it personal for you, all right? Now, it is important that we do personalize things. Just not in the way they want us to. It's important that we personalize how we invest now and where we invest now. Meaning, you can continue to shell your money out to companies who hate your guts, or you can find a family company full of family men who are busy setting normal people up for retirement by finding them real estate to invest in. That's what Done For You Real Estate does. You realize that. These are all family men. I've broken bread with them personally, had dinner with them. They're just wonderful. What do? They find you properties in the best markets. They get you the financing taken care of. They handle the closing. They handle the rental process. And they allow you to begin building, you, normal person, not millionaires, normal person, you get to begin building a real estate portfolio slowly. You're not going to start out with 10 houses. You're just going to start out with one. They'll turn that into two. You might one day find yourself with 10, retiring, and passing down something to your children. We've had people speak about Done For You Real Estate at their father's funerals. Did you know that? Go to doneforyoujesse.com and find out what it's all about. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to bum rush you. Doneforyoujesse.com. All right? Jesse. Oh, this guy's mad at Trump. Donald Trump fires people who actually care about him, such as Steve Bannon and General Mike Flynn. Then he hires people who know how to kiss his butt and play him. As a result, he has an entire administration filled with commies who play him like a fiddle. I wish someone could get through to him. Yeah, it is what it is, man. Whatever. It is what it is. I'm not wasting my breath on that anymore. I've tried endlessly to reach out to Team Trump and to get people who support Trump and his agenda more involved in whatever. It is what it is. Let's talk about illegal immigration. Let's talk about, speaking of agendas, what other nations have done before and what they're doing to us. And this is the real crisis when you have a nation where your leadership hates the nation. Well, it allows other countries to exploit you and take advantage of you in ways that are very good for them and very, very bad for us. I'll give you the example of it next.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.